One last chance, little beast. Be sharp. The cat urged her in a tone low as a whisper, and then dropped back to the ground and sauntered away. Eleanor swallowed. She stepped toward Ms. Foster, slipping her fingers into her pocket as subtly as she could. They bumped against the hard edge of the ancient coin she'd taken from the hidden room, rough with verdigris. She slid it out and closed her hand around it, then stopped just out of reach of Ms. Foster. The cat wanted her to remember the coin, but why? "You don't have to do this," Eleanor said. She felt at the coin in her hand. Had it glowed when she looked at it through the crystal? Had she thought to check? She couldn't remember. She ran her thumb over it, and the graveyard dog froze in his pacing. He stared at her, stiff as a board.
"I know that you think that," Ms. Foster said. "From your perspective, this must all be so awful. But you must understand, you only think that because you're thinking selfishly. This deal keeps our whole town happy and strong, and it keeps all of us safe. There are only 3 of you as compared to the entire town of Eden Eld. It's simple mathematics."
3 of us every 13 years, Eleanor corrected her. "And besides, if the town has to sacrifice kids to stay happy, it shouldn't be happy."
"Do you know anything about Eden Eld's economy?" Ms. Foster asked.
"The primary industries of Eden Eld are mining and logging,"
Pip quoted in a high voice, then snorted.
"So what?"
"The mines closed 60 years ago. The last time a tree was cut down for anything other than a better view was the 1980s,
Ms. Foster said.
"Eden Eld has no industries. Money simply arrives. This town exists because of this bargain. It would vanish without it."
"Then let it," Eleanor said. She was only half listening. The rest of her attention was on the dog, who was still standing stock still. She ran her thumb over the coin again, and he twitched and took a jerky step forward. She'd studied the story of the graveyard dog carefully. She could practically recite it by memory. The children fought the graveyard dog and claimed his treasure trove, the story said. Maybe he wanted it back.
"I will not let something that I have invested so much in slip through my fingers," Ms. Foster said.
"Guess you're lucky you never bothered to spend much time on me then," Pip said.
"This would have been ever so much harder if you'd been a more pleasant child," Ms. Foster said.
"Enough of this. Where's—"
She looked toward the meadow and jumped. The man wasn't standing in the middle of the field anymore. He stood among them, right in the ring of the January Society. And now he was facing them. He held the cane in both hands, out in front of him with the tip planted in the dirt. The women hadn't moved, like this was his show, his deal, and they were just waiting to see how it went.
"What a delightful gathering," he said in a voice full of laughter.
His face was plain, so ordinary that Eleanor would not have been able to describe it if you gave her an hour and all the metaphors and similes in the world. Except for his eyes. His eyes were solid gray, from one edge to the other. Everyone in the circle froze, like they wanted to step back, but didn't dare. She looked at his feet, but they were shrouded in mist. She couldn't see which way his footprints were turned.